Welcome to the Ether. Today is Tuesday, June 6, 2023. Today on the Ether, Coinage, breaking crypto news. The SEC has now sued Coinbase. Let's take a listen.
Welcome, everybody, to another Coinage chat here. Breaking news to get to today, as everyone has been watching. Less than 24 hours after the SEC sued Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, it's now going after Coinbase. Gary Gensler going after Coinbase in a 101-page lawsuit alleging Coinbase has willfully operated as an unregistered securities exchange broker and clearing agency. The SEC also charging Coinbase for failing to register its offer when it went public, as far as what it is as a crypto exchange and the sale of its crypto asset staking as a service program, which we've already been covering over the last few months in that public back and forth between Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong and Gary Gensler. I'm the host of Coinage, Zach Usman, coming to you live from our Brooklyn studios. And we've got Coinage's head writer here, Zach Abrams, who's also been digging through the 100-page complaint. Purpose of the space, though, is to have a bunch of people in the ecosystem here with us, jumping up, asking questions, throwing what they've seen, and, you know, tag teaming this really as a team effort, as a community-owned show, trying to dig through this 100-page complaint and tying up and connecting the dots that we got out of the SEC's case against Binance yesterday. A lot going on, Abrams. A lot of stuff happening and a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's on our end, Abrams, or on your end right now, but you sound a little distorted over there. We'll let you figure that out, but I'll run through kind of what we saw out of this.
Do I sound better now?
You sound much better now, but I do want to highlight some of the highlights that we've seen in this case, because again, a lot of people have been connecting the dots between what the Binance case brought and what the Coinbase case brings. And there are similarities, I think. The backdrop for everyone to appreciate what's going on right now is you also have the House hearing concurrently running as we're talking on this space in the Republican push in the House to put pressure on the SEC to figure out what to do with digital assets. We were talking with Eleanor Terrett from Fox Business yesterday about why all of this is happening now. And you got to connect the dots that the SEC and what Gary Gensler has been trying to do to put his agency in place to police all of crypto has basically been because he's been facing so much pushback from Congress and other people watching this play out saying, look, there are no rules here. And so I think that that's a piece of why we're seeing so many detailed run-throughs of what is a security, what is not, in both of these lawsuits. And you had some overlap, Abrams, as you flagged, 13 coins considered securities in this particular lawsuit against Binance. And there was some overlap with some of those quote unquote unregistered securities that were listed in the Binance suit, including Solana, Cardano, Polygon, Filecoin, Sandbox, and Axie Infinity.
Right. Sorry about those issues. Do I sound better?
Yes, you do.
All right, great. What I was trying to say before is we have not heard from Brian Armstrong, which I think is interesting because yesterday CZ was quick to tweet saying, we're standing by. We'll have our response soon. Binance published a long response on the website saying that they intend to defend their platform vigorously. Still have not heard from Brian Armstrong, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds. But just, again, to restate my initial impressions upon reading this lawsuit is the Binance one had lots of juicy details, things we didn't know about the CEOs of Binance.us being forced out because they wanted more independence from CZ, including one after, you know, just 3 months after being started. That was all interesting. What really struck me about this lawsuit was the lack of anything spicy, the lack of anything under the hood, the lack of anything sketchy. Really, the SEC is just going after Coinbase's business as it's detailed it in its filings. You know, it's a publicly traded company. If there were any big secrets to learn, I feel like they would have come out in this lawsuit, but really what Gary is just saying is the entire business that Coinbase operates is not lawful under its current registration.
Yeah, and obviously Gary Gensler is currently making the rounds. He spoke on CNBC this morning, and there were a couple interesting takeaways. Obviously, you don't need to read the full complaint to necessarily know what's going on here. And if you're entrenched in your views that the SEC is an agency that's not necessary, then you already kind of know how this is going to go. And I just want to play a little bit of what we heard from Gary Gensler this morning on CNBC, because mostly he's continued to make the point that all of crypto is a field that is built on non-compliance. You've heard some of those struggles from Brian Armstrong and other operators in the space who have begged. They've begged for any rules and clarity around what they should do to register, to go about this in a compliant way. And you have Gary Gensler essentially tripling down this morning, saying that it's not an issue of non-compliance. It's an issue of all of these crypto companies not wanting to follow the rules. Take a listen.
What we find is this is a field that's built. The whole business model is built on non-compliance with the U.S. securities laws. And we're asking them to come into compliance, and they're going, a bit of catch us if you can.
So there you go. A bit of catch us if you can, Abrams. And in this go around, I believe they've caught now two, at least if they think they can win these cases. And of course, as a lot of people have been pointing out, just because you bring a lawsuit against someone, and you can look at the Ripple case thus far, things might look like a slam dunk. And certainly, I think, as we were debating, the Binance suit is way more juicy with allegations in terms of, really, I think, at the end of the day, setting up structures that benefited CZ in terms of, you know, manipulation and boosting trading volumes on Binance. Those are the allegations, versus this one around Coinbase really not being about enriching Brian Armstrong by any means. Of course, Coinbase shares are down, what, close to 90% since that company went public, but mostly around, look, in no financial system thus far do you have the exchange also being the market maker, also, you know, executing the trades for its customers. There are rules in place to protect people getting the best price in the old way of doing things that do not exist in crypto. And that, I think, is mostly the juiciest bit that's coming out in this Coinbase lawsuit.
Yeah, Brian Armstrong is mentioned only once in the lawsuit, just stating that he's the CEO of the company, whereas CZ was all over the Binance lawsuit. So definitely a difference in approach here.
The other thing to flag from this interview we heard from Gary Gensler this morning is a larger issue of what's going on. What is the end game here? And of course, as I said, the House hearing still just getting kicked off, a bit of an awkward moment there when they have to talk about digital assets and a pathway in the U.S. when you have the SEC going on an all-out rampage on closing that pathway in the U.S. I don't know how we're functioning right now as an industry in the U.S. when you have that going on, but you do have, I think, a lot of people realizing, myself included, that some of this might be locking off any potential counterpoint and alternative to a U.S. CBDC. And that's mostly something that we've been highlighting here at Coinage, is the idea of surveillance and what happens if the U.S. forces everyone to only use a digital dollar. And Gary Gensler spoke a little bit about that as well in his interview on CNBC. Take a listen.
We don't need more digital currency. We already have digital currency. It's called the US dollar. It's called the euro. It's called the yen. They're all digital right now. We already have digital investments. And you have digital, you have entrepreneurs representing digital investments on this program all day long. And it's whether it's the big tech companies, the automobile companies, you name it. It's all digital right now, the investing world. So what is the real underlying value of these tokens? And that's why you need full, fair, and truthful disclosure.
A full, fair, and truthful disclosure, Abrams, is basically, again, what he's pushing for there.
Gary, how fast do those digital dollars settle? You know, how long do ACH transfers take? This feels like last century technology. You know, it's, if you really want the digital dollar to be better, show me the money. And part of, when you were talking about the CBDC, part of what I thought was funny was part of the framework that House Republicans are laying out in the House, a proposed bill to provide a pathway for these assets to be considered commodities and not securities, one of the main requirements is that they're sufficiently decentralized. And I think that's really funny because it's hard to imagine something more centralized than the US government launching its own digital currency. So a complete, you know, complete divergence in philosophy between the two camps here.
It's a good point. And also, you know, I mean, I think it's something that Caitlin Long has come out and talked about, too, in the idea of how do you get a working banking on-ramp from what's happening in crypto and plugging it into the traditional banking system. I see we got Jackie from TechCrunch up here as well, which is great to have you included in the conversation. Jackie, this has been wild. As far as a 24-hour period in crypto goes, I don't think I've seen two lawsuits against the two biggest names back-to-back. Ever in the industry's history.
Yeah, I had other stories planned for this week, but of course, you know how this goes in the crypto world. Sometimes the news decides itself, and it's definitely been pretty crazy. I mean, the situation with Binance yesterday, I think, sure, they're both massive crypto exchanges and they're both being charged by the SEC, but they are different circumstances. I don't know if you've already gotten into this. I just joined the space, but they're seemingly related because they have like the securities violations in it. But I think there's different stances and sentiments from the filings. I don't know if you felt the same way.
No, I mean, there's definitely different sentiments going on between the two. I also feel like the other thing to note in these, and I may have just, did I just bump us off the space?
No, you bumped your own account.
Oh, all right. Well, that'll happen. That'll happen when you're trying to drive and do everything at the same time. But no, Jackie, I do think we were talking about this before you joined as a speaker. The bite between this case and the Binance case is huge because Abrams pointed out he didn't go after Brian Armstrong. He didn't name him in this lawsuit against Coinbase in the same way that he goes after CZ. And a lot less bite, it seems, not only the fact that there's fewer pages in this you know, lawsuit against Coinbase, but also the fact that I think, you know, it's a lot of what we've already heard. It's Gary's greatest hits he's dishing out right now on this one, I think. And so it's just not the same. It doesn't hit the same. But obviously, the stock is off considerably over the last 2 days. I don't know if some of this to you, Jackie, is almost like everyone else catching up to where crypto degens have been and watching this play out.
I think in terms of Gary's sentiments, I listened to his interview with CNBC this morning, and a lot of the interview was geared towards Binance, and it was seemingly way more severe. He referred to CZ as Mr. Zhao. He did not bring up Brian Armstrong once, as you mentioned in the lawsuit with Coinbase too. Like, it wasn't really about Brian. It wasn't about Brian Armstrong. It was about Coinbase. And then with the Binance one, it was about Binance. It was about CZ. It was about BAM, all these different parts to it. And I think going off of that, it's just they're two separate categories under the same bigger umbrella, which is just crypto regulation. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about how, I mean, the sense I got from reading this lawsuit was that there's no element of Coinbase's business that the SEC is super thrilled about. They're not saying, you know, we love that Coinbase wants to educate people about crypto, but we don't like that they're offering staking. It seems like a pretty broad attack at the three main parts of the business as it describes it, as an unregistered broker, an unregistered exchange, and a registered clearing agency. Jackie, is that also the impression that you got?
Yeah, and it's also like we've seen in the past that Coinbase has been very vocal about wanting to approach regulation in like a compromising way, or like work with these agencies to come to a conclusion. And it kind of seems like there's just been no response. I remember in, I think it was late April, Coinbase filed a petition to get the SEC to basically respond to a months old petition asking whether the regulator would allow the industry to be regulated using existing agency frameworks, which now we're seeing is yes. But at the time, SEC never responded to the petition. So, I mean, I get both sides. I see the frustration from crypto community members saying they want, you know, they want something. They want to work with them. They want to do this together. And then all of a sudden, the SEC is like, ha, surprise, here's a charge or whatever they're going to give you. You know, like,
here you go. Here's a charge for you. I got one for you and I got one for you.
Myself, you know, if I was trying to do the right thing, which I always try to do, And then I get no response. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm getting attacked. I could see why that's very problematic.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, that was one of the things too. When we're looking at the grand scope of things and what happens to crypto now, I feel like that's also a question that almost everybody's asking is, all right, you know, when it was just the Binance lawsuit, everyone was wondering, well, what happens to Binance now? What could happen if we see funds flow out? That was also an interesting piece from Jim Cramer this morning on CNBC when he was interviewing Gary Gensler. That's exactly what I want to call out because I think that's key to what we saw in almost all these other collapses. I mean, with the FTX collapse, obviously there's some big differences to flag in terms of leverage using FTT on your balance sheet if you're at FTX versus what CZ has said he has not done himself. He does not use BUSD or BNB on their balance sheet. That's what he said publicly. But yes, Jackie, let's dig into it. Let's talk about it. Let's let's address the elephant in the room. And if people haven't listened to it, here's the clip from Jim Cramer talking to Gary Gensler this morning about getting funds off of Binance. Take a listen.
Here, this is no different from SBF. And if you have your money with Binance, you should get it out right now.
Look, I've already read the articles in the last day, you know, drawing parallels to the we've also alleged fraud and manipulation at FTX and with regard to Sam Bankman-Fried. Let me just say the business model of crypto intermediaries intermingles, commingles funds, trades against their customers. In this case, in the Binance case, yes, we have alleged that sister organizations, Sigma Chain and Merit Peak, were being controlled by Mr. Zhao and used on the platform.
So there you go, Jackie. I don't know if it's fear-mongering, but I think anytime you have an anchor saying, get your money off of Binance right now, it certainly classifies as fear-mongering.
Yeah, I mean, that's my take on it. I guess my question here is, like, I don't really think they're similar at all, the Binance and FTX situation. So I think that's inappropriate of Jim Cramer to say that, in my opinion. And obviously, Chair Gensler ignored it and just kind of responded in whatever way he wanted to continue the conversation, which I think was a good move on his part.
Well, I think there may be similarities to get into. Abrams, I don't know if you feel the same way. I mean, look, everything can be fear-mongering until you look back on it, right? There are people who are saying, get your money off of FTX, and that could have been fear-mongering until it collapsed. So,
okay, I think, obviously, as the lawsuit states, Binance has done some deceptive things. They have kind of circumnavigated around the law, etc. But I think the way Binance operates compared to FTX is not the same, is kind of what I was getting at.
I would agree with that mostly.
Okay. Yeah, and I think the markets would agree with that because we saw the price of BNB, Binance's exchange token, drop about 10% from 300 to 280 yesterday. But even in the midst of this Coinbase news, it seems to be finding support around there. So people are not as quick to abandon Binance as they were to abandon FTX once the reporting and the FTT and all the drama started coming out.
Well, I since I have no life, last night at 10 p.m., I was putting a thread together on exactly this point. And Jackie, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it, because I do think we're kind of in this weird quasi scenario where everything, right, we always talk about crypto being a trustless system. You can basically, you know, put your money on exchange because they're not going to go down. And people thought that about FTX, and then you see what happened. But you've also had CZ basically in the aftermath of all that saying, look, we do things differently. We do not use BNB as a balance sheet asset. We do not trade with leverage with people's deposits. We do not fake volumes on our exchanges. And basically, if you look at the SEC complaint, they point out that, yes, in fact, Binance did, or CZ did, through his other entities, try and inflate trading volumes at Binance US. And, you know, I just pinned this thread, but essentially CZ himself said, why would you ever trust an exchange with your funds if they're lying about trading volumes? And he said that in response to a lot of other exchanges. But now when you flip that quote on its head and maybe potentially apply it to Binance, look, no one knows what's going on technically within the walls of Binance except for CZ. And if there are similarities between these situations, you do have a lot of power. You can look at Terra, you can look at SBF. You have a lot of power centralized in one person's hands. And it does require a lot of trust on the part of customers to say, you know, I trust that CZ is not going to do this to me. And that's kind of the one scary bit, is it challenges a bunch of notions to where yes, our gut can tell us, this sounds like fear mongering, because if you do have a bunch of people pulling out assets at the same time, as we saw with Silicon Valley Bank and Silvergate, those weren't fraud. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank was not a fraud. It just was because a bunch of people panicked and withdrew their money at the same time that you then had a collapse. And the same thing could happen potentially with Binance if some of this fear mongering catches on, which I think is why you and I both share the same view that it's not good to be doing if you're in an interview with the SEC chair and you say in front of everybody, get your money off of Binance right now.
That being said, I think with Jim Cramer's reputation in the crypto community, he might actually be strengthening Binance. People are saying, if he's telling me to take it off, I'm going to keep it on.
Abram said it, not me. But Jackie, does that all make sense? I feel like, I don't know, that's generally what I've been thinking about in terms of how panic plays a role when you have no backup. As much as everyone in crypto hates the Fed, I mean, if you're sitting there, as we saw with Do Kwon, and you only got $2 billion and everyone knows exactly how much he got, panic can spiral out of control.
No, of course that makes sense. And I think the comparison between both CEOs or founders or whatever you want to call CZ and SBF, they both have extreme control over both entities. And I guess you could arguably rightfully so, but at the same time, like, Binance.us is supposed to be an independent company, and Binance.com was also allegedly operating in the US. So the argument here is, like, who is kind of pulling the strings? You could decide for yourself or read the filing, you know? And I think those have similar parallels, that on the FTX ship, it was SBF running the show, and on Binance, it's CZ running the show. I mean, I think in the filing, he even said he approved like sweatshirts that were to be bought by Binance, you know? So it's just like ridiculous how like intertwined he is. Like, don't you have bigger things to deal with than approved sweatshirts? I don't know.
Yeah. My favorite detail from the original CFTC suit against Binance was that he personally approved like a $60 expense for office furniture at a time, and I know the lawyer writing this was laughing to themselves, but at a time when Binance was making hundreds of million dollars in revenue every month. So he's always had an intricate level of control. And part of me is just thinking, like, in the alternate timeline where the users of FTX rallied around SBF and said, we're not pulling our funds out, we're betting on FTT, seemingly as people are doing with Binance now. And maybe in that alternate timeline, people flee Binance for many of these same reasons. Like, would we still be looking at SBF and CZ the same way? It's a tough question and obviously impossible to know for sure. But with this many parallels, I think it's worth thinking about.
Jackie, the other question too now is where we go from here as an industry, right? Because if you think about the dominoes and trading volumes and where exactly people might come into the crypto ecosystem, it's always mostly Binance or Coinbase. And, you know, some of that was broadened out when FTX tried to challenge the monopoly, you could call it, maybe perhaps around the globe. Binance is the hugest exchange, controls what, more, I think, volume necessarily than like the next 8 exchanges combined. So, I mean, a lot of this is, you know, maybe you have some people saying Binance is the end all be all in how the SEC has been going after these two companies. And then you got other people saying Coinbase matters more because it's more like the DC insiders,
right,
and where this battle will be won and lost. But I don't know, for you, I mean, how are you thinking about the wider crypto ecosystem as a whole when you see this back to back lawsuit palooza in the last 24 hours?
So I think the response here is pretty US based. Binance is obviously global. It is the biggest exchange globally. I think it'll continue to operate globally, regardless if they have to pay a massive fine in the US or they face lawsuits here, charges, et cetera, whatever you want to call it. And then obviously Coinbase is pretty American based. They do want to have a bigger global presence, which we've seen in the past few months. But at the end of the day, I look at Coinbase as a US exchange, and I feel like most people do too. So where do we go from here is kind of an American problem, unfortunately. And something I just wrote about this in a story that's going to come out in a little bit is like the conversation of impeding innovation in the States. There's a lot of concern that people will literally just take things abroad to continue their companies or continue what they're creating because they don't want to face this when they feel like it's all, enforcement by action. I always mess up the saying, but whatever the saying is, you know what I'm talking about. It's like regulation by enforcement. That's the saying.
Yes.
But I think to go back to the point is like, where do we go from here? It's kind of up in the air. unfortunately. And the ripple effects of this will be far reaching. And I'm not trying to like start any fear mongering there, but it's true, because when you think about it, these are the two biggest exchanges globally. And to have them being charged back to back is a monumental moment for the crypto industry, and not in like the best way possible, but at the same time, maybe it will bring about regulatory clarity. Maybe the charges will force Coinbase to conform into whatever pocket the SEC wants them to fit into. I don't know how they'll do that, but maybe they're going to have to work internally on it. I'm not sure. But I think it's just a lot of headaches to come. And it's also a little unfortunate because I do see innovation kind of going offshore as a result. And I'm hearing that.
And you have a front row seat for it with your coverage at TechCrunch. And I do think, you know, that is one of the things, right? We have so much attention, you know, by virtue of all of us. And if you're in this space and you're not based in the U.S., would love to hear from you from around the world to weigh in on this, too, because I don't know, it feels like the sky is falling down on crypto here in the U.S. while you still have Hong Kong and maybe other jurisdictions stepping up. Right before all this stuff hit, you had that kind of weird timed report. Abrams, you called it that, when you had Binance basically saying, look, here might be the guy who's going to take over for CZ. He might be next in line. And that came out before all this. And he was a former regulator in Dubai, if I'm not mistaken, or at least clearly a push to look at other jurisdictions beyond just the U.S. So I don't know, maybe there is a piece of that that, look, yes, we're all in agreement that the U.S. is clearly stabbing itself in the thigh right here, if that's an expression. Is that an expression?
The leg.
That's
an expression.
Shot in the foot, right?
Listen, Jackie and I haven't gotten any sleep. No one's sleeping in the last 24 hours, so no one knows what expressions are which. But no, I mean, Abrams, I feel like that's kind of the piece. And of course, all of this is happening right now in the backdrop of a House hearing trying to figure things out in the U.S.
Yeah, and here's a little story I came upon yesterday that obviously got buried in the news, but Bloomberg was reporting that JP Morgan, which has a blockchain-based settlement system called Onyx, is partnering with 6 Indian banks to introduce a blockchain-based platform to settle interbank dollar transactions. And they say that under the existing settlement system, it takes a few hours for the settlements to complete. They don't complete on weekends or on public holidays. Now there's going to be a real-time blockchain-based system that will be available around the clock. Transactions will settle instantly. Like, blockchain can obviously still provide immense services, not only to ordinary consumers like the rest of us, but to big financial lenders. And we see JP Morgan, obviously one of the biggest banks in this country, teaming up with India around the world. If it's time to make bold predictions about crypto, I would just say that we're going to see a lot of companies leverage the technology without necessarily branding themselves as crypto projects, without having ICOs and being listed on marketplaces and having meme competitions. I think the technology will continue to develop because, you know, again, Gary was talking about how the US dollar is digital, but ACH transactions, international wire transfers, these things are not as easy as they should be given the technology we have.
No, it's very true. And I do want to reset too, because we have a little over 400 people in this space with us. And if you're just joining us, it's less than 24 hours and we've gotten 2 lawsuits against 2 of the biggest names and exchanges in the crypto ecosystem. First, the SEC going after Binance on Monday. Less than 24 hours later, a 101-page lawsuit filed against Coinbase. A little bit, as we've been discussing here, a little bit less spicy in terms of the actions and allegations against Coinbase relative to what happened at Binance. When you dig into CZ being the one named along with Binance, the CEO at Binance, because of what he was doing behind the scenes to game some of the volumes and trading activity at Binance US. Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, not listed in the lawsuit against Coinbase. And with us today, we have TechCrunch Senior Crypto reporter, I should be pointing out, Jackie Melnick, here on the space with us. And Jackie, your reaction, you've been watching all this play out. We've been listening to Gary Gensler. We've been digging into these lawsuits. You say you've been hearing from a lot of companies themselves watching this all play out. I don't know about you, but basically all the meetings I had scheduled were wiped off the map as everyone's kind of reacting to this. But it does seem like there's a bit of a freeze across the ecosystem right now, especially the actual projects and blockchains themselves, when you got 13 tokens, some big ones, including Polygon and Solana listed as potential securities here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's also big enough to dig into.
Yeah, 100%. I think the conversation of securities is a massive one that has been talked about for months, if not years. Are they securities? Are they commodities, et cetera? And I think yesterday and today, Binance's one yesterday had 12 cryptocurrencies marked as securities. And then the one today with Coinbase had 13, although the SEC did claim that it was, quote, not limited to the ones listed. So even though they said only 13 in the one today, it could mean hundreds. And between the two suits mentioned, Solana, Cardano, Polygon, Filecoin, Sandbox, and Axie Infinities were on both of the lawsuits. So, but it's worth mentioning as well, Bitcoin and Ethereum were not mentioned in either. And in the past, Chair Gensler has said that Bitcoin is a commodity. So it's kind of interesting why they picked out those specific ones. I'm not sure, maybe because they are pretty big and prominent, but I know there was one yesterday, I think it was like COTI, Cody. I personally have never heard of that in my life.
Abrams flagged that because it was so attached to Binance's activity, okay, right, Abrams?
That's right.
Yeah, so further down in the lawsuit, I was also wondering that same thing, but they talked about how in the 11 days after being listed on Binance, it was either Merit Peak or Sigma Chain, which are two CZ-controlled trading firms. You heard Gensler in the clip before mention them. They accounted for over 35% of the volume of this CODI token in the first 11 days. So I think that the SEC included that coin in its complaint to kind of point the finger and say, look, when ordinary users are trading this coin, they have no idea how much of the volume is being manipulated. That being said, of the coins mentioned in this suit, the one that isn't there, Ethereum, very interesting to me, especially as a couple of months ago in the House hearing, Representative Pat McHenry, the chair of the House Financial Services Committee, his first question to Gary Gensler, he really tried to pin him down, asking him a few times, is Ethereum a security? Gensler did not answer, and we still have yet to hear a definitive ruling on Ethereum from either of these lawsuits.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say like Ethereum is or isn't one way or the other. It just was not listed. I want to make that clear.
No, absolutely. And it's a question that everybody should know the answer to, I think.
Well, you would think that some of that would be able to be drawn. But again, it behooves the SEC to not necessarily draw the lines in the sand because it gives them better protection in going out and filing these enforcement actions. As you flagged, Jackie, that's kind of giving up their secret sauce and weapon in trying to rein in this industry. And the other thing that stood out to me, right, we haven't talked about this yet, but staking as a service, I mean, that's a huge piece of where Kraken got into issues as well. Certainly other exchanges and other crypto companies trying to issue staking as a service being something where, look, you might not know the complexities of staking your own Ethereum. So let us kind of handle this for you and we will give you the rewards. And that's one where, you know, I can see if you're advertising a promised return, which is usually the case, stake with us and we'll give you X amount, usually like what, 6% right now, I think is what's being advertised. That's gotten Kraken in trouble. Obviously, Coinbase has been in trouble and battling with the SEC. That's another thing where I was seeing some reports that, you know, state level regulators now have given Coinbase basically 28 days to show cause as to why they shouldn't be directed to cease and desist from their staking as a service product in some of these states. And that's I don't know, Jackie, is that as big to you as it seems? Because, you know, if we think about what crypto is built and meant to do, how many people actually run nodes themselves? How many people know how to stake themselves? And we're talking about Ethereum, by the way, not even the other thing. So I don't know what kind of threat there is to the entire ecosystem when you're targeting staking as a service as a huge piece of this lawsuit against Coinbase.
I personally do not stake anything. I do not have a node. I'm just being honest. I mean, you could see it in my bio. I own Bitcoin, Ethereum, and I don't day trade. But I just want to make that clear. Anyways, to answer your question, I think, you know, the staking industry, while it brings in a lot of volume and it has like a lot of merit, I think it's a very niche space, but that doesn't undermine the fact that it's significant to many people in the industry. Whether or not it's significant to like my mom who I got to download Coinbase so she could buy her first piece of crypto? Probably not. But I think there you could say that about a lot of things in a lot of different industries, whether we're speaking crypto or we're talking about somewhere in the traditional finance industry, like futures trading, you know, like that's something that's important to people in that space, but may not be important to the everyday person. So I think it's all circumstantial in the way people look at staking. It, like I said, is just another factor in the industry.
I think you're right to bring out your mom's point of view here and everyone in the crypto ecosystem that is watching this all play out. Because again, the crypto narrative in 2023 has been, I'm not going to touch it. It's dead. Crypto's dead and illegal now. And there's no point in even paying attention to it. And I think that that narrative is pretty powerful. And it's one that, you know, traditional media, if you got Jim Cramer saying, get all your stuff off of Binance right now, of course that narrative is going to continue. And so it's partially on us, you know, as an independent community-owned outlet to be, you know, telling the truths, and appreciate you coming on here with us. But when you look at that, there is, I think, this might get me canceled, Jackie, but there is maybe something to look at when it comes to, are you at all surprised that you can have Terra collapse in a $40 billion implosion? You can have FTX collapse as essentially the one true Binance challenger out there, at least around the globe. And you can have Binance now face a lawsuit less than 24 hours before Coinbase gets hit. And you could have Bitcoin at $25,000 and you can have Ethereum north of $1,800. To me, I don't know if that raises questions about maybe some of the allegations of some of this being more shenanigans than not, but I'm a little surprised by the muted price action. And maybe that just goes to show we've hit potential rock bottom, or maybe that's completely wrong and something else is about to drop.
I mean, they're still down on the week. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, but it's really not that extreme, I guess.
But yeah, right? Is that not surprising? It's crazy. Like, it was $12.50 when Terra collapsed, was Ethereum's trading price. $12.50. Yeah. And if you were to tell me all that stuff would happen, we'd be at $18.50?
Yeah, okay. But to your credit, or to the whole credit of all of this, is like, the Terra situation was like a detrimental. That was really, really bad. Getting sued by the SEC is kind of like a common occurrence at this point. And yes, Binance and Coinbase are massive exchanges. So I'm not saying it's like, oh, just another like drop in the water. But like, it's kind of just like, oh, there goes the SEC again. So like, I think the market is holding up pretty strongly for what it's worth in comparison to how bad this news could be, you know, or how bad the news could be interpreted, I should say.
I don't know what signal. I don't know what signal that sends. And maybe again, maybe it's a piece of, you know, this is what's happening in the U.S. But outside the U.S., if you're over there and you're like, oh, what's the SEC? You know, none of this really matters. To your point, it's huge for us covering news as, you know, crypto journalists in the U.S. But to everyone else around the world, you're right. I mean, it's very different than the idea of a collapse of a token that was kind of systemic to everything else as a stable coin. And that's also something I think has been interesting in terms of BUSD being something that's issued by Paxos, but already basically come down from a market cap of $20 billion to $5 billion. It's not as huge, you know, the Binance stablecoin.
Yeah.
And that one was dollar backed. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of differences that I feel like it's now, I don't know if you've seen this, but your discussions with people outside of crypto, it's like, here's why it's different.
Well, I'm glad you brought up BUSD because it was mentioned in Binance's lawsuit yesterday by the SEC as a security. But today in the one with Coinbase, there was no mention of Tether or USDC for the Coinbase filing. So I don't know if that means that those stable coins are not included because, like they said, it's, quote, not limited to the ones they listed. But it's interesting that they included BUSD yesterday as a stablecoin and did not touch note on any of them today.
That is interesting. And I wonder if part of that is because, if I'm not mistaken, using BUSD got you certain discounts on the Binance platform. So maybe they found that as
Zach coming in with
sketchy
that hot
or shady.
Yeah, I'll give you 100 on that one. That's a good point to flag. That's a good point to flag. I mean, if anyone out there, which by the way, if you're trying to do this yourself as a trader, welcome to the world of being a, you know, a founder or builder in crypto. Let's just recap what exactly happened if you're here in the US, because on Friday, you had this huge wave of optimism when you got that house bill from Patrick McHenry saying, here's the pathway to finally not being seen as unregistered security. You basically need to have no more than 20% of a token in one person's control. You need to show that it's decentralized enough to become a commodity. Here's how that would look. And that bill came out on a late Friday, by the way, and was kind of swept under the rug. No one really paid too much attention to it. But I think a lot of people were celebrating over the weekend, being like, okay, there might be a path here in the U.S. Crypto is not dead. And then what do you get on Monday and Tuesday? You get two lawsuits back to back from the SEC saying everything's a security. So I don't know. I don't know. Hats off to anyone building in the U.S. because that's a hell of a whiplash to try and figure out what the hell's going on.
U.S.
What's up?
You're building in the U.S.
I am building in the U.S., but that is why we do not have a coin. That's why I don't want to put one of those out. We don't have one of those. And I, you know.
Yeah, but you operate as a DAO. How do you feel about all of this?
Well, I will give myself some credit here in terms of maybe seeing where this whole entire industry was headed when it comes to regulation and potentially what the SEC has been signaling for years in going after some of these tokens. And again, I think there are some true points. This is always painful for people in crypto to realize, but like, it's not against your interest to want to have some protections or at least some transparency around, hey, wouldn't it be great if I know I'm getting the best price in buying a token on these exchanges? That's good for you. So if the SEC is saying like that should happen, just remove Gary Gensler from the conversation, maybe see past your anger and hatred of the agency itself and realize that some of those things would be good for you and in your own self-interest to have. And so for us, I don't know, it was basically seeing, all right, what's going to need to be done for this to be legal? And that's why Coinage as a DAO, as a community-owned media organization, Jackie, set up shop in Colorado as a cooperative, because I think a lot of people who wanted to build these things legally in the U.S. realized there was a pathway if you just kind of plug yourself into the existing laws. Gary Gensler was talking about that in his interview too, a special purpose broker-dealer filing as a registered securities exchange in the U.S., at least successfully. That was something he was happy with. Right. And, you know, I think just trying to go about these things in a way where you realize, you know, what the laws are is important when you're trying to build these things. So that's the way we went.
Yeah, no, I was genuinely interested, although this is your show. I wasn't trying to give you the opportunity to shill. But I think it's also important to, you know, talk to founders in the space, you included, on what this really means for you guys and how it affects you. As I mentioned before, like, innovation is obviously a major metric and something that US shouldn't take lightly if they're losing talent. And there was a developer report that came out by Electric Capital earlier this year that showed like the number of US-based developers was decreasing every year since, I think, 2017, like 2% roughly on average. And 2% sounds like nothing, but when you add that up, it is a lot. So
it is a lot. And I mean, yeah. Like, I don't know. So for us, right, like what we're doing, admittedly, I don't think anyone here at Coinage is ever going to get shot by the police, right? Like, it's not like Jesus. We can say something. Well, I mean, there's an interesting, I'm being pitched right now, a Venezuelan journalism project that's basically trying to do what we're doing, but they're in Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro is throwing journalists in jail. There's like there's a reason to do the things that crypto is trying to do, right? And it's lost, I think, on a lot of people who are here in the U.S., because we have the luxuries that a lot of people around the globe don't have. And so like, yes, is it a thought experiment for us as a media organization covering crypto to want to become a DAO and do it legally in the US to push maybe the SEC to realize there is a pathway and maybe to show the rest of crypto that there is a pathway to do these things legally? Yes. But I do think, again, it's like times like these where it's important for everyone in the industry to realize, and maybe the reporters too, to say, what exactly are we trying to do here? Because if it's all just number go up, I don't think it's that interesting. But if it is like, you know, a revolution, yeah, revolutions are way more interesting, way more fun from what I've seen, as long as no one's getting shot. So that is one of the things that I think, you know, is important to highlight and give props to. A lot of people who are doing it in far more dire circumstances than we are, who might not have, you know, some of the luxuries we have here in the U.S. And, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me watching. And Jackie, I don't know about you, but keeps me interested and moving past the sleepless nights when you have these huge things back to back to back. That really does test everybody's endurance, shall we say, in covering this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as Jackie said, I think that the U.S. is at its best when it's a fertile breeding ground for innovation. I mean, I was watching the Apple event yesterday and I just felt like, wow, the company that's building the future is operating in the US. And you know, I love new technology. OpenAI is here. You know, all the companies that are developing are here. Meanwhile, Gary Gensler appears to be driving crypto out of the US. 6 days ago, the EU formally signed its new crypto licensing rules into law. They're moving through the process to become the first major jurisdiction in the world that understands these assets. And to me, the best way to police these assets is to understand them, is to not, you know, make it so that the laws are so hard to follow. But in a sense, I think there's a big difference in the Coinbase lawsuit versus the Binance lawsuit, where Coinbase was a publicly operated, you know, publicly listed company in the US. It filed regular statements. And so in the lawsuit, we didn't have leaked text messages talking about internal drama, or they didn't have to map out a web of holding companies in order to discover who owns what. They're just saying that Coinbase's core business is illegal. Despite, as many people on Twitter are pointing out, they claim that they've been operating in the lawsuit, that Coinbase has been operating as an unlicensed exchange since 2019. But in 2021, the SEC signed off on Coinbase's S-1 to go public. So it's just hard to see any of these actions as promoting innovation in the US, which I think anybody can agree is what we should be doing here.
I think Gary said, let me find it because I put it in the story. He said he actually thinks it's the opposite and that it does promote innovation. He said that the enforcement, and this is his words, I don't know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I'm just replying to you, Zach, is that he said the enforcement is actually fostering innovation because the agency is trying to build trust. And quote, the crypto markets are undermining that trust, end quote. So it's basically he's saying it's in response to like all these years they've had of regulation, like the hundreds or 100 plus years of regulation that the US has had on capital markets should be implemented in the same way on crypto markets. And look, we have so much innovation in capital markets, so we could do the same with crypto. But I think to your point as well, it is kind of difficult to say because it is a new sector of innovation and talent and what have you. So it's like, I don't know if applying the same rules and to the space can work the same.
Yeah, just to be clear, I think that we would fall into that category of what have you, by the way, and talent and innovation, where coinage is somewhere in the what have you, I think. But no, I think you're right. And I think that, you know, I'm a natural contrarian. So every time I see everyone in crypto coming out and saying that the SEC is dumb and there's no merit to any of these things, I'm naturally inclined to maybe say, well, there might be something here. But you're absolutely right, Jackie. I feel like, you know, emulating the old system isn't necessarily the best thing either. And at least having an alternative is great. Caitlin Long, who's come on the show all the time, has completely nailed it when she points out all the inefficiencies and illegalities, crimes in the old system. And the idea that, you know, it's operated under the SEC's control, and yet you still have a bunch of the same issues. You can look at Citadel and market making and the idea of payment for order flow, as we saw with Robinhood. Their system also doesn't necessarily ensure that you're getting the best price necessarily on any one of these trades. And that's what got Robinhood in huge trouble. And so I don't think it's necessarily safe to say, yeah, trust the SEC. But I also would say maybe it's not safe to say trust CZ either. So I guess, and this is where I think I have my soul crushed every time I do a crypto story, is Jackie, that almost all roads lead back to trust no one. And that's kind of sad sometimes to think about, but maybe that's what crypto is all about.
I feel like that's kind of the crypto mantra, though, and it's also sad at the same time. I think the two could coexist for sure.
Yeah, I guess it can be both ways. You can have your cake and eat it too, or whatever the essential metaphor of that in the sad version is.
We got to get down our sayings before the next.
We need coffee on Coinage next time. But no, I guess to wrap this one up, there is one last opportunity, I guess, for each one of you to give your biggest takeaways from these cases and what you're most, I guess, excited to see play out, because there are still, I think, more questions than answers after having both these lawsuits and a combined, more than 230 pages of legalese from the SEC. And I feel like everyone now, especially again, House hearing's still going on, so we all got to go jump and digest what the hell we're hearing from Congress in terms of a legal pathway here in the US. But I feel like I'm kind of more confused a little bit after both of these things than I am in the right.
What's my takeaway, you're asking?
Yeah.
I think in the short term, this is not the end. This is obviously just the beginning. I think we'll see responses from both Binance and Coinbase independently. And that hopefully there's some clarity there. I think in the long run, you asked, what do we want? I think clarity is the biggest thing. As a reporter, that would be amazing. So I could write different stories outside of the regulatory landscape. And also just for industry players too, like they've been kind of begging for clarity, and maybe the regulators can argue that this is clarity, that what they're saying is kind of the guidelines and the frameworks that they want to make as rules and without actually putting rules in place. But I think going forward, clarity is just the biggest key. And that's something that I think we'll see within hopefully the coming years.
It's a long going saga. I also kind of want to see what the offense and the reaction will be from some of the other people that have been named in this, Polygon, Solana, all the other independent projects, and what they say in response beyond just Coinbase.
Yeah, some of them have tweeted out a few things. I know Cosmos's founder, he tweeted something out. I haven't seen from other people. I know Ryan Wyatt from Polygon is speaking in D.C. today, I believe. He tweeted something out about that too. So, you know, I think we're going to see some feedback from these so-called creatures of quote-unquote securities.
Yeah, I mean, I saw somewhere, I think it's around $115 billion worth of tokens have been declared unlicensed securities between today's lawsuit and yesterday's. Obviously a huge number, obviously going to have ripple impacts on the industry. So it'll be interesting to see what tack, you know, the leaders of these projects take in trying to defend them.
One thing is pretty clear, though. The war is on. If you thought it was a battle before, it is an absolute all-out war now between crypto and the SEC and what is going on. And the pathway to existing here in the U.S., I think, is obviously shrinking. But we'll continue to cover it. And Jackie Melinek, senior crypto reporter here at TechCrunch, I appreciate you coming on to chat with us today. You canceled on our hang on Sunday, so we're going to have to get another one of those on the books. Sorry to expose you on the space, but there you go.
Now people know we're friends, but yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll let you get back to it. I also want to recommend and remind everybody that we have another space coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern, digging into the battle for Bitcoin Soul with the founder of Taproot Wizards. Udi's going to come on. We're going to chat about what this all means with him as an OG in the Bitcoin ecosystem as Ordinals takes off. Okay. Maybe that matters more so. Who knows? What? We'll see. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jackie, for coming on. Abrams, thank you as well. That'll do it for us here on This Space. You can check out all the latest coverage and also co-own what we're building at coinage.media. Join the co-founder of Netflix. Join John Woo from Avalanche and the rest of the smart intellectuals we have in our community. For Zach and myself, thanks again, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you at 3 p.m.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Coinage crypto breaking news discussing how the SEC is now suing Coinbase. Recorded on Tuesday, June 6th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support now.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebidites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features. More critical thinking, less knee-jerk. More evolution, less shitcoin preachers. Pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks. Sucking up the cheddar, the recipe is two steps. Rinse and repeat, now we all in your butts. And we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror Spaces.